passages concerning this idea of well-pleasing in his sight. Wanting to see what the Bible has to say about this. All kinds of people with all kinds of opinion. Well, I don't think God minds this, and I don't think God minds this, and I think God's happy with this, and I think. Well, stop thinking and start reading, all right? Because the Bible is pretty plain as far as the things that God is pleased with and the things that displeases him. He's not shy about telling us what he wants us to do and what we should not do. And so we're going to read in Colossians chapter number 3, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 16. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Let's look at verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is, what's the next two words? Well-pleasing unto the Lord. We're going to preach on this subject tonight. Obedience is well-pleasing in his sight. Obedience is well-pleasing in his sight. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to be able to preach the Bible. And thank you for this great theme. What an exciting Bible study this has been for this preacher, just to be able to go through the Bible, follow these words, pleased and pleasing and well-pleasing. And Lord, to be able to find some wonderful truths to be able to share with the congregation. And Lord, we want to know. We want to know what makes you happy. We want to know what is well-pleasing in your sight. So Lord, we're going into this year with a desire to begin to view life not from our perspective or not from the world's perspective, but to be able to see our lives from your perspective. And so Lord, help us in all things to be well-pleasing in your sight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the ways to be well-pleasing in God's sight is to always be obedient to your parents. This is a message for children, but you're going to find that what we learn or fail to learn in this area of our life will influence much of our life, the success of our life. And this attribute, if we learn it young, will cause us to be more successful and prosperous in life. If we refuse to learn this and we resist this Bible principle and we just, you know, grow up as a disobedient child, that's going to also follow us into life and cause life to be difficult for us. You see, I believe right now God is looking for young people. He's looking for children, young people. One of the things that we said last Sunday night was this. One of the things we need to understand is that God sees everything. And you know, God is watching you right now. And the things that you either do or don't do may cause him either to pass by you later on in life for something he wanted to use you for, or to begin to notice and to begin to focus his attention on you as a possibility of doing some extraordinary things later on in life. It's very important that children grow up understanding and knowing and learning to obey mom and dad. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in all things. Why? Preacher, what's the reason? I don't always want to obey. I don't always like to obey. Here's the reason. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. You see, I think right now God's looking for young people that he can use in the future. One of the stories in the Bible, and we won't go back and look at the whole story, but there came a time where Saul, we were going to talk about Saul, because Saul's a perfect picture of partial obedience instead of complete obedience. But Saul had kind of messed up in the eyes of God, and he kept disobeying God and disobeying the commands of God. And finally, God just had enough. And so you know what he did? He just kind of took Saul and said, I'm going to take the kingdom away from you. He was king of a country. And God said, I'm going to take your throne and I'm going to give it to somebody that's learned how to obey me. And you know what? When the time came for Samuel the prophet to go find this new king, he went into the house of Jesse as he was directed to do. And this man, Jesse, had a number of sons. And there's something about verses 6 and 7 as Samuel comes into the house and he begins to meet Jesse's sons. All he was told of God is, you go to the house of Jesse and one of his boys is going to be the next king of Israel. And the Bible says in verse 6 and 7 of 1 Samuel 16, it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab. Now that was the oldest one. That's the oldest brother. E-L-I-A-B, Eliab. And said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. What he was saying was, surely this is the one that's going to be the king. But it's interesting what God said to Samuel. It said, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And all Samuel could see was this big, tall, strapping, good-looking kid, you know, and he looked like a king, he walked like a king, he talked like a king. That's got to be the king. But God says, what you're looking at is not the same thing what I'm looking at. And by the way, I don't think that he started looking in his heart that day. I don't know exactly why, the Bible doesn't say why, that God refused Eliab. But I'm just wondering, when Eliab was a little boy, and when God was watching him, whether or not he would obey his mom, whether or not he would obey his dad, I wonder if God just got to the point where he just kept seeing a consistent character flaw in that young man. And God at some point said, you know what? He can't be trusted. He won't obey in the little things. I mean, if he won't obey his dad, think about God's perspective. If he won't obey his dad, why would I make him king of Israel? He'd never listen to me. And if he won't listen to his mom, he'd make a lousy king. He's going to expect people to obey his orders, but he won't obey his mom. He won't obey his dad. He won't obey God. So you know what? Even though he looked like a good prospect, and from a human standpoint, a lot of people said, boy, he'd make a great king. God saw something when he was growing up that caused God to just say, no, I can't use him. I'm going to have to use someone else. And you know what? It wasn't the oldest boy in that family that became king. It was the youngest boy in that family. And maybe God also watched David. You know what? When dad said, David, I need you to get up, he jumped out of bed. You know what? David, you know what I need you to do? I need you to go do your chores. Yes, sir. Took off, went and done his chores. And maybe God just started watching that and saying, you know what? If he'll obey his dad, he'll obey me. If he'll obey his mom, he'll obey me one of these days. Hey, if I'm going to put him in a place of authority, you know, where he's asking people to obey him. Because listen to me, folks, one of the great qualifications of being a leader is first learning how to be a great follower. And the worst leaders are the ones that never were a good follower. And I think being a good follower qualifies you to be a good leader. And God refused him. Well, why is obedience well-pleasing in God's sight? What does the Bible say in this matter of children obeying your parents in the Lord? Preacher, is it really that big a deal? I think it is. I think this needs to be trumpeted from the rooftops. And I think that parents need to be reminded that, you know what, you should not allow your children to live a disobedient life. It's not funny. It's not cute. It's not something that's going to help them in life. Oh, I just got tired of it, so I just gave up. Listen to me, folks. I want you to hear what the Bible has to say. And children, listen to me. Every single one of you need to learn to honor your parents. And you honor your parents through obedience. Let me give you some Bible facts about this idea of children obeying their parents. Number one, children should honor their parents through obedience because that is one of the Ten Commandments. You go all the way back to Exodus chapter 20, and we see and find the Ten Commandments. Now, as a Christian, I'll read them all, but I'm going to say this. As a Christian, if you just learn to obey these Ten Commandments, they'll help you keep right with God and keep right with other people. Just these Ten Commandments. If we just get back to these Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Nothing in your life ought to ever be as important as God Almighty. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. I'm going to tell you, if a person and a young person will grow up and they'll stay true to these Ten Commandments and they will understand them and they will develop their lives and their character, the character of their lives, so that these things are rock solid in their lives, I promise you, you just put yourself head and shoulders above the average young person in America today. So why should children obey their parents? Because it's one of the Ten Commandments. Number two, children should obey their parents because it's, and this is what the Bible goes on to say, they're the first commandment with promise. Exodus 10:12 actually says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2 and 3 says, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. What does it mean, that? The first commandment with promise. It means before God just gave a commandment. Do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. Well, when he got down to this one, he said, do this, and if you do, I promise I'm going to do this. That's the first commandment with promise. And so what was the promise? Well, Ephesians 6, verse 2 and 3, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. What does God promise? If you'll honor mom and dad by being obedient, what is the promise that God makes you? That it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. So there's really two promises there. One of them talks about the quality of your life, and the other one talks about the quantity of your life. Think about this. If I obey mom and dad, and by the way, kids, I'm not saying it's always easy to. I'm not saying you always want to. There's a little bit of that that's inside of all of us that sometimes wants to rise up. And you know, just when I'm doing something fun, then mom wants me to stop and do this. And just when I got to finally get to do this, dad wants me to stop and do this. And you know, I understand it. We're all human. But what's the benefit if you just learn to obey? The benefit is this, the Bible, God makes two promises to you. He says, that it may be well with thee. Now, what does that mean? That means that God's going to make sure that a lot of really good things happen in your life. You know, where somebody else, this goes wrong all the time, 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 they're frustrated all the time. God can make a lot of things go wrong, or he can make a lot of things go right. And it doesn't mean that if you obey your parents, you're going to grow up and never have a problem and never face a crisis. But I'm going to tell you something, compared to the person who didn't obey their parents, I'm telling you what, you're going to have a good life, that it may be well with thee. Not only that, listen, and thou mayest live long on the earth. So God says to the young person that just develops a rebellious spirit, talks bad to their mom and dad, disobeys their mom and dad, I mean, just fights and fusses with them all the time. And I think God just starts slowly watching that kid as he does that. And here's the end of your life. Here's where you're at now. And here's the end of your life. And God just keeps going like this. He just keeps going like this. He's going to say, you know what? I'm going to tell you something. I made a promise. If you'll honor your mother and father by being obedient to them, that you know what, I'm going to make sure that life is good for you, and I'm going to make sure that you live long on this earth. But if he promised that, what's the other side of the coin? Sure. You get a rebellious spirit in your heart. You know what? Things are not going to go well with you. And I'm going to explain why that is in just a minute. But also, he said this, I will cut years off the length of your life if you have a rebellious and disobedient spirit towards your parents. Now you say, well, that doesn't matter. That's a long way away. Well, you don't know how short God's going to cut things. And so don't tempt the Lord. You see, think about this. Why is the adult life of an obedient child more blessed than the adult life of a disobedient child? Why is that? A successful relationship with your parents, listen to me, trains you how to have a successful relationship with all God-ordained authority. I'm going to tell you kind of a sad story. And, you know, there's some people that you wish you could help. There's a man that I worked at a sawmill in Clay City years ago, and the man that ran the sawmill was a Christian man and honestly had a good heart, and I think tried to really, really, really help a lot of down and outers. I mean, if a guy showed up and he was in a hard place and he needed a job, my boss would give him a job sometimes when he didn't even need another guy, just to try to help that family out. And there's this guy that came in one day, and he pulls in, and he's in a beat up old car, and his wife is in the front seat with him, and he's got a gaggle of kids in the back. And you can just tell by looking at him, they're having a hard time. They don't have much. The kids are scrawny, and their clothes are all worn out. The car's beat up. And, you know, you can just tell people that he didn't have it, hardly anything. So he comes over and he talks to the boss and he asks him for a job. And I saw my boss look at the family, look at the situation, said, "Well, why don't you come tomorrow and I'll at least give you a try, okay?" And he said, "Okay." And he thanked him and he went and got in the car and came back the next morning, got there on time. And I went over and introduced myself. The other guys introduced themselves. But as soon as we started working, you could tell the guy had a chip on his shoulder. And anytime somebody would try to tell him how to do something, he'd push back on them. I mean, he'd never worked at a sawmill before, but he knew everything about working at a sawmill, you know. And the boss, anytime he'd tell him a direct order to do, boy, he'd just swell up. And you could tell he just didn't like it. And sometimes he wouldn't do it. Sometimes he'd stomp off the other direction. And, you know, God bless my boss. He stuck with him longer than I did, or I would have. But that guy lasted 3 days. And finally my boss said, "You know, I don't know. I don't know. I'm trying to help you." And you know, I'm sitting there. You know who you feel sorry for? I'm looking at that little wife in the car. And I'm looking at those kids. And he said, "If you don't change your attitude," he said, "listen, you're not paying me. I'm paying you. And I'm not here for you to do what you want. I gave you a job so you'd do what I told you to do. And I don't think I'm a hard guy to work for. But if I tell you something, you got to do it." And he made it to about lunchtime. And I actually went over and sat on the bed of my truck, put the tailgate down. I called him over. And I don't even remember his name now. It's been so many years ago. But I said, "Come eat lunch with me." And I told him, I said, "Listen, man, this is a good man you're working for." And I said, "It's none of my business. I'm not trying to pry in your affairs. But it looks like you guys need some help. You need this job." I said, "What in the world's wrong?" He just squared his shoulders up and he looked at me and he said, "I made up my mind a long time ago that nobody's ever going to tell me what to do. And if somebody tells me what to do and I don't want to do it, then I'm just not going to do it." And I just looked at him and I said, "Brother, you're in for a hard life." He picked his lunch off, walked, stormed away, and went over and sat by himself and ate lunch. By the end of the day, he was unemployed. Yep. Hey, let me ask you something. Is things going well with him? Poor little wife. No money, pay the electric bill. No money to get groceries. Folks, listen to me. I have met scores of men and women like this. And you know why life's hard? And you know why nothing's ever fair? Because when they were a little kid, they were going to let mom and dad tell them what to do. And you know what? When they got to be an adult, they carried that same attitude right into life. But I'm going to tell you something. I want you young people to know it. Well, one of these days I'll be 18 and nobody's going to tell me what to do. Listen, you're always going to have a boss and you're always going to have somebody over you. And there's always going to be an authority figure. And you know what? You might as well get used to it. And by the way, that's the way God ordained it. And so get used to it and learn to obey and learn to obey with a good spirit. And you know what? God will look down and see that and say, I'm going to go before that young man or that young lady every single day. I'm going to clear the path for them. I'm going to make life easier for them. But if you live the other way, there'll be obstacle after obstacle after obstacle. And you know what? You'll be your own worst enemy in life, but it'll always be somebody else's fault. I got a friend of mine that used to be a drill sergeant in the Army, and I asked him about the type of young men that were coming into the military and young ladies that were coming into the military during this time and stretch, and he said, "Let me tell you something." He said, "The young people that excelled in boot camp," listen to what I'm going to say, young people, "the young people that excelled in boot camp, the ones I hardly ever had to chew out or yell at or punish, were the kids that came from Christian homes. That just learned to obey mom and dad." He said, "You know what? People talk about how rough boot camp is." He said, "You know how bad rough boot camp is? It's as rough as you want to make it on yourself." Because he said the young people, and he said, you know, this is a dying breed. It's a dying breed. He said, but the young people that come in that have been raised to obey orders and obey mom and dad and do it with a cheerful spirit. And when they understand what you want them to do, they run and they do it. They put all their might into it. He said, "I'm going to tell you something. They just fly through boot camp like it's nothing." But he said, the kids that walk in with an attitude, a chip on their shoulder, you know, they've given their mom a hard time all these years. And they've given their dad a hard time. And you know what? They finally decided, "I'm sick and tired of my mom telling me what to do and my dad telling me what to do, so I'm going to go join the military." That's brilliant. That's brilliant. Woo, good plan there, you know. I'm going to go be a Marine. Well, there you go. No one will ever tell you what to do there, you know. And the honest truth is, I don't care if it's military or not. You know what? If you're going to be successful in life, then you have to go get an education. And when you go into go get an education somewhere, you're going to walk in a classroom. Guess what? There's going to be somebody in charge of that classroom. And they're going to teach you or try to teach you something. And they're going to give you assignments. And they're going to have an expectation. You walk in with that chip on your shoulder. You know what? You won't last in there. There's all kind of apprenticeship opportunities. Brother Jeff, all over this community, there are skilled people looking for young people that they could train. But you know what? You walk in with those attitudes, I promise you, you aren't going to last very long because somebody's not paying you. So you can go in there and try to tell the boss what to do. I'm telling you, this attitude that you have with your parents is going to follow you through life and cause you misery after misery and failure after failure. And it won't be well with you. Not only that, God's going to keep watching you do it and keep chopping months and weeks and months off your life. And you know what? You're not going to live long on there. Why don't we just do the right thing? Which brings me to the third point. You say, preacher, this matter of children obeying your parents, why should I do it? Children should obey their parents because it is the right thing to do. Ephesians 6:1 just simply makes one of the most simple statements in the Bible. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Well, why should I obey? Because it's right. Yes, sir. Well, if it's right to obey, then if you disobey, what's that? Yeah, that's wrong. And you know what? So much in your life, life is simple for those that just make a decision. Let me just help you to make right decisions, successful decisions. And here's what you need to ask yourself. Preacher, I'm faced with a decision. I need to do this or I need to do this. Now listen to me. What is the right thing to do? Amen. Not right in your eyes, not right in my eyes, right in God's eyes. And you know, if you'll just do that, Bob Jones Sr., the old evangelist, he's in heaven now. He used to just say this to his students at Bob Jones University, do right, do right, do right if the stars fall. And you know, life's not that complicated. You know the story of Jonah and the whale? Do you know why he ended up in the belly of a whale? It is not complicated. This is it. I'll read the first opening verses. Now the word of the Lord came into Jonah. Okay, God's about to tell Jonah something. Here's what he's going to tell him. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Okay, so not complicated. God shows up, says to Jonah, I need you to get up. I need you to get on a ship. I need you to go to Nineveh. And I need you to preach, cry out against it. I need you to preach a message. But Jonah, verse 3, we're three verses into a story. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, folks, I don't know what was wrong with, Jonah. I don't know what was wrong with Jonah's thinking. But let me tell you something that was wrong. There is no place to flee from the presence of the Lord. Anywhere you go, God's there. But here's Jonah, and what he decides to do is he's going to flee into Tarshish. So, okay, Nineveh's that way. I'm going to go that way. God says, do this. I'm going to do this. God said, obey me. I'm going to disobey him. Yep. And you know what? The Bible says he got on that boat, and the Bible says then in verse 4, but the Lord sent a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea so that the ship was like to be broken. And you can turn over there later on tonight and read the rest of the story. But let me tell you something. If he'd have just obeyed, it's not that hard. If God says to do something, do it. If God says don't do something, don't do it. Listen, kids, it's not that hard. If mom says to do something, do it. It's the right thing to do. If mom says don't do something, don't do it. It's right to obey mom. If dad says do this, just do it. It doesn't matter if you feel like it. Doesn't matter if you want to. Doesn't matter if you're already busy. Just obey. And you know what? It's the right thing to do. Number 4, children should obey their parents. Let me give you 3 words here. Cheerfully, immediately, and completely. Cheerfully, immediately, and completely. Now listen, there's some things, well, preacher, I obey mom when she tells me to do it, and I don't like it, I do it. Yeah, but you get up with a sour look on your face, and you stomp your foot, and you drag your feet, and you got a bad attitude. And you know what? God sees that. And God's like, every time I ask them to do something, am I going to get that same attitude when they're an adult? You know, oh, cheerfully? Listen, I mean this. I think you ought to go home sometimes and just practice it. You say, preacher, I've kind of gotten this habit of being a little snarky with mom and dad, and you know, I kind of stick my lip out sometimes, and I don't obey. I don't have a cheerful, good spirit about obeying them. You know what? You need to go into the bathroom and practice. Just go in there, shut the door, stand in front of the mirror, and pretend mom asks you something to do, and put a smile on your face and say, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Well, that doesn't feel normal. It doesn't feel natural. Well, if you do it enough, it'll be normal and natural. Okay, so just practice it. Practice it. I think sometimes take your brothers and sisters together and say, okay, you be mom and I'll be the child. Tell me something to do. Tell me something to do. Now be careful, because your brother might tell you something to do that maybe you should not do. But, you know, at some point, you got to change the attitude. Okay? And now I want to tell you this. If you've done this for some time and your mom's used to you not having a good attitude, and all of a sudden you come out and you're cheerful about it, I don't know how she's going to do. She may have a heart attack. She may faint. You may have to call 911 just because she thinks, okay, who are you? How did you get in my house? You know, you can't really. But I'm going to tell you something. You'll be a blessing to your mom. You'll be a blessing to your dad. Here's the three words you ought to remember. When it comes to obedience, well, preacher, I obey. But, well, wait a minute. Do you obey cheerfully? Do you obey immediately? Immediately. And do you obey completely? I've always been careful with this, because this story was told to me by an older preacher, and it's not that we run in the same circles, but I've just been kind of careful because of the, I think, in this time of technology, I used to be able to tell an illustration off somewhere, preaching at some campground, and I could say something about something that happened at Blessed Hope. Nobody at Blessed Hope would ever know about it. Now they're watching it while I'm over in Oklahoma. You know, they're watching it. And so, you know, when it comes to things that are happening in your church, you try to be real careful. And this man, he didn't share this illustration for years, and he's an older preacher, and he told me, we were having lunch one day, and we were talking about this very subject, and he said, you know, the first funeral, and he said, please be careful. And I don't think anybody would know who this man is. He's in heaven. I don't think anybody would know what the church is, which church it was. I don't think this family, I think I'm safe. But he said to me, he said, the first funeral I ever preached was a 6-year-old girl. He said, I was a young preacher, and he said, about killed me. But he said, it was a young family in my church, and he said, I was over in their home many times. They came to our church. They invited me and my wife over to their house several times. And he said, they were good people, but the one thing, the one fatal flaw in that family's life was that they just spoiled that girl. She was an only child. And I would sit in that house and watch them tell her to do something, just watch her throw a fit. And I'd look at the parents like, aren't you going to do something? They'd kind of look at me like they were embarrassed and they didn't know what to do. And honestly, folks, maybe didn't know how to do it. Maybe just needed somebody to teach them. I don't know. But it got to the point where not only would this girl not do what they said, but every time they'd tell her to do something, a lot of times she would do the exact opposite. And here she is like this already, 4, 5, 6 years old. And he said, I did that girl's funeral because of her disobedience. And he said, she was out in the front yard, and it was time to come in for dinner. And he said, the mother stepped out on the front porch and called her by name and said, I need you to come in, it's time to eat. And she stomped her foot and said, no. Turned around the driveway, ran out into the street, the opposite direction, was hit by a car and killed instantly. And he said, you know, how many times I've wanted to stand before children and use that illustration, but because I couldn't hurt that family, I just couldn't. It was just too close to home. But I'm going to tell you something. That's not a one-time deal. You start talking to preachers and you start talking to Christians, and those stories are stories like those crop up everywhere. And you know what? I don't know why mom wants me to do it. You don't need to know why mom wants you to do it. Stop, and you want to keep going. You know your parents see things that you don't see? They see dangers that you can't even understand. And you know what? Well, yeah, but I'm 13 or 14 or 15. They still see things you do not see. And here that he said, I had to stand over the casket, a miniature casket with the body of a six-year-old girl in it, just simply because she would not obey her parents cheerfully, immediately, completely. I talked about King Saul. You know why God decided to put him off the throne? I'll read you the story real quick. God gave Saul a command, just like he gave Jonah a command. He gave Saul a command. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both the man and woman, infant, suckling, ox, sheep, camel, donkeys. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. Now wait a minute. Bible says that Saul smote the Amalekites until thou comest to Shur, which is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, the king, the best of the sheep and the best of the oxen, of the fatlings and lambs, and all that was good in their sight, would not utterly destroy them. And everything that was vile and refuse, they utterly destroyed. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, and he sent Samuel to meet Saul. And you know what he said when Samuel came to Saul, down in verse 13? And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. That's what he said. I performed the commandment of the Lord. Now, wait a minute. What was the commandment of the Lord? You're to smite every single human being and destroy these people from off the earth, and you're to destroy all their livestock. He left the king alive, and he brought some of the livestock back. And Samuel said, what meanest then the bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the cattle? Which he said, you're telling me you did what he said. Then why am I hearing these sheep bleating and these cows are mooing over here? Where'd they come from? You know, and Samuel wanted to argue with him. But Saul finally said this to Samuel. Well, Saul said this to Samuel. Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen and the chief thing. Now he's blaming somebody else. I want you to listen to what Samuel said. He said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obedience, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. This man was king of a country. He was given simple commands to do. When he got there, he thought, I know better than God. He's telling me to kill everything, but look, man, they got some great sheep. Those are good sheep. These are good oxen. And so he took them for himself. And then when he was confronted by the preacher, he started changing his story. I didn't read it all, but first thing he said was, well, I saved all these lambs and oxen so I could do a sacrifice unto the Lord. No, he didn't. The Bible says he was going to keep them for himself. Then later on, it was like, well, come on, kids. The people, I didn't do it. They did it. You know what? That's what happens. You disobey mom and dad, then you want to argue back that you're not disobeying. Well, I did this. Well, did you do everything? Did you do everything she said? Well, I did this much of it. And besides that, my brother and my sister, and we start blaming everybody around us when we're disobedient. And you know what God did? He said, enough. He whispered in Samuel's ears, you tell him he's gone. He's off the throne. I'll find a king that'll obey me. And you know what? I understand that all children sometimes wrestle a little bit with this obedience thing. But if you start deciding that this is going to be a pattern of your life, that you're going to be disobedient, God is going to look down from heaven at one point and just say, you know what? I can set them on the shelf. I don't have to use them. all this wonderful things that I had for them, they're going to miss out on. And by the way, chop, 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 chop. And I don't know when it says that your time's not going to be long on the earth. I don't know what that's saying. You know what it was for that six-year-old girl? She never got to be a teenager. She never not got to grow up and get married. God just looked at that level of disobedience and just said, decided at that point, if you're going to be so disobedient, then not only will you not obey your parents, but you are determined to do the opposite at six? Well, let's see what the opposite gets you. And you know, I know that's a tragic story, but young people, I hope every one of you take this to heart, because it's not a light thing in God's eyes when he looks down and sees a young person disobey their parents, or obey them but with a bad attitude. Obey them but not immediately. Mom shouldn't have to ask you and 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 ask and threaten you and then finally, ah! You know, God's not going to put up with that very long. He's just not. And not to do everything that God says. Oh, we're talking this year. This is going to be our theme. What's well-pleasing in God's sight? I'll tell you, what's well-pleasing is a young person that grows up and obeys mom and dad. And you know what? God looks down and says, I can use them. If they'll obey mom and dad, they'll obey me. And all of a sudden, he starts setting up things in their life that's going to go well and going to go right. And I'm going to tell you, they begin to live a blessed life. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd bless our invitation time. Lord, as this message goes out, I pray, Lord, that you'll use it in the hearts of the children. Lord, that you would also work in the hearts, dear God, of each and every one of us. Lord, if we're going to expect as parents for our children to be obedient to us, we certainly need to be obedient to you. And so, Lord, I pray that we'll understand that obedience is well-pleasing in your sight. Lord, bless our time of invitation. And as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, as the piano player begins to play, we're